Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Today's show is a message given by Pastor Joe Schimmel to his congregation at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Now here with vital insights from God's Word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
But did you know humans have used animals, even in biblical times? The false prophets, they would use the entrails. They'd cut open an animal, they'd pull out a kidney or part of the entrails, and they would look at it and say, this is what, then the prophet would use the animal's pieces to say what the animal was saying would happen in the future. This stuff seems cute and everything, but it's actually part and parcel of what the Bible calls false prophecy. And in the Old Testament, this was so serious that under the theocracy of Israel, if you prophesied falsely and you said this is going to come to pass and it didn't take place, you were stoned to death. Because when you spoke for God, it says in the scripture that if a prophet prophesies and says, to go after another god and says something that's going to come to pass and has a dream and it does come to pass, but they teach you to go after other gods, don't follow them. So there's also false prophets who can be inspired by Satan to actually get some of it right. Satan doesn't have all the future. He's not on par with God at all. He's a created being, amen? But he has little glimpses. For instance, when God gave Satan permission to test Job, therefore Satan would have known what he was going to do. And he could have taken a prophet in a nearby town and said, this is going to happen. And then did it to Job and made, wow, look, Satan knows the future, or this prophet does. So Satan has little pieces of the future, but he doesn't even realize ultimately. I mean, he knows ultimately how it's going to turn out because he knows when he's thrown down to the earth. Now, right now, he's been cast out of heaven, but he has access to heaven. There'll be a time in Revelation 12 where he has no more access to heaven. He'll come to the earth having great wrath. That's the tribulation period. Woe to the earth, it says at that time. But it's interesting because when you think about it, at that time, he does know his days are short. Amen. But he doesn't even know the day and the hour of Christ's return. Jesus didn't know the day and the hour of his return until he was glorified. He prayed after he said that, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was created. Now Jesus knows the day and the hour of his return. Satan is limited, but there are false prophets who can amaze people by getting something right. Plus, there's demons who have a lot more knowledge than we do. They've been around for thousands of years, right? So they can come as what the Bible calls familiar spirits. Pretend that they're your uncle or your aunt and give you some kind of statement or some kind of knowledge that you wouldn't otherwise. How could this psychic know that? How could they know that? It must be my grandpa. No. Grandma and grandpa, they're not on the earth anymore, folks, when you die. To be absent from the body for the believers, to be present with the Lord, and those who reject Christ are separated from him, and they can't even come back to the earth. Read Luke 16. Jesus said they have no access to this planet. But demon spirits do, and they come as familiar spirits. So we need to test everything. We need to make sure that we only go by the word of God. Praise God. God always gets it right. Amen. Praise God. We could look at the word and open it up and see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, many of which already come to pass, and those that are coming to pass before our very eyes. Just the, I use as my best case in points is Jesus or Israel, rejecting their Messiah, being dispersed in all the nations, becoming a nation again, regaining their language, being hated by the world around them, people trying to divide up their land. It's all part of the prophecies. It's happening right now before our eyes. If you take an honest look, it's so obvious that we have a God who not only made us, but he cares about us. He tells the end from the beginning. Well, why do people look to kangaroos and to guinea pigs, instead of the word of God? Because people want to be their own gods. They don't want to be morally accountable to one who now it's sad because you can have 30 billion years to map out your own future and it'll never be as good as God's if you put yourself in his hands. So people are just blinded. But listen to what Isaiah 46 says, verses 9 through 11. God says, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. And God said he'd rise up a man named Cyrus from the Persians. And they were in Babylonian captivity. And he said he even gave the guy a name before he was born. And he said, he'll shepherd my people and bring them back into the land. The Babylonians had the Jews in captivity. A king rose in time by the name of Cyrus. The Persians took over the Babylonians. Cyrus came to power. And the Persians are the ones that allowed the Jews to go back into their land. Mind-boggling. Many, many prophecies like that. That's why Peter tells us that we have a more sure word of prophecy in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now let's hone in chapter 10, verse 7, and see a little bit more what the Lord has to say throughout the scripture about this mystery. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God will be finished. What's the mystery of God that will be finished? Now, it's interesting. The mysteries, when the Bible talks about mysteries, I've told you before, they're not like Agatha Christie mysteries where you just, you know, where it's like a puzzle that's really super hard to figure out. And by the end of the book, hopefully you've figured out the mystery, right? They're somewhat like that sometimes. But the mysteries in the scripture are things which you cannot know without God revealing them, you see. They're things that the world can't understand. They're hidden, Jesus said, things that are hidden from the wise, but revealed unto babes. So the great thing is that you can simply look in the Word of God and understand these mysteries. And the mysteries that the Word of God speaks of are the most important mysteries in the cosmos. They're the things that you ought to know, that God wants you to know, because he reveals these mysteries to his servants, the prophets. And some people think, well, God wants to keep these things away from everybody. No, God does not cast his pearls before swine. If people have hard hearts and they don't want to be with the Lord, it'll remain a mystery. But the book of Revelation, think of the word revelation. Revelation, reveal. That's to reveal. The Greek word is the apocalypsis. It's like an unveiling, the curtain's going up. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show, to reveal unto his servants, you see. He wants us to know the truth. As I said at the beginning of this message, the Lord says that without a prophecy or a vision, my people go astray. He wants his children. My children perish, he says, in another place because of lack of knowledge. He wants his children to have knowledge of truth. And so what is this mystery? It's something that I think that we need to understand. I think we'll appreciate God's plan much better when we understand this mystery. And certain things might come to your mind. And you might think when I say one thing that, oh, I might be wrong on that, or maybe I was right. But what I'm saying is, and you have to test what I say by scripture. But there's different things that I'm going to read you that are called mysteries in the New Testament. And what's interesting is some of the things I'm going to reference here are part of the bigger, of one big mystery. All of it's really part of one giant mystery, but some reveal or speak specifically to the mystery we'll be talking about here. I'll give you 10 examples of mysteries in the New Testament that were spoken of many times, oftentimes in the Old, but more veiled. In Matthew 13, number 1, the mystery refers to the kingdom of God. Jesus told them about the mystery of the kingdom of God. Number 2, in 1 Timothy 3:16, it speaks of the mystery of godliness, where Jesus, who is God, became flesh, amen, was manifested among us, seen by angels, right, and ascended back to heaven. Beautiful mystery. Mystery number 3, and I didn't put this in any particular order. I just built upon this as I looked for more and more mysteries in the New Testament. Mystery number 3, the ultimate conversion of the Jews, the conversion of the Jews in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Number 4, the word mystery is used of the union with Christ and his church. Number 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 through 32, the mystery of Christ's bride, the church, and him. More of a delineation of the other mystery. Number 6, the mystery, word mystery is used of the bringing of the fullness of the Gentiles in for salvation in Romans chapter 11. Number 7 speaks of the mystery of iniquity, which speaks of the revelation of Antichrist in the end times, in this mystery of sin or iniquity. Number 8, the living presence of Jesus in us, the hope of glory, is called a mystery. 9, the gospel itself is called the mystery of Christ in Colossians 4:3. Number 10, mystery is used of the rapture of the church. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 52. There's 10 mysteries. I'm not limited to 10. Those are just 10 I picked as examples. And I was hoping there were 10. I didn't even know. I just listed a bunch. I started numbering them. I'm like, yep, hoping 10. 10, boom. That was nice. I believe mystery in Revelation 10, verse 7 speaks of a specific mystery that's related to other mysteries. And it's beautiful. I mean, this is what I've studied in the past, what's called the mystery of God here. It always excites my heart because it shows you the beauty of what the Lord is doing. Because there's a lot of evil that's going on. There is that mystery of iniquity at work, amen, where Satan's at work. But there's a lot of good things happening that we don't see on the news, and that's the mystery of God is at work. And God is at work fulfilling this mystery that you are part of, that you have the privilege to announce to the world, and that you happen to be an incredible benefactor of the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. In fact, let's look at that mystery, this mystery of God. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 16. Now, it's interesting, in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, and I love this, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the what? Mystery, which has been kept secret for what? Long ages past." So in long ages past, this mystery was kept secret, but it's been revealed in these end times. In fact, when the Bible, and I'm going to show you other scriptures that speak of this mystery as well, and it was the prophets longed to look into. They didn't understand it, even though they prophesied about it in the Old Testament. In fact, we know the prophets prophesied about this because look at verse 26. "But now it is manifested by the scriptures of the" what? Prophets. Now, when Romans was being written, guess what? The only scriptures they were aware of was the Old Testament. The New Testament was just now being written. So they were revealed in the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. So this mystery is not to be hidden to the nations. It's being made known to the nations in the obedience of faith. Now, here's a hint. This mystery, back up to verse 25. "Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery is tied into the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's being preached to all the different nations. Now, there's more to it because the gospel is what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's connected to 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. They're pretty much connected. But what is that mystery? Well, it's about the kingdom of God as well, an entrance into the kingdom of God. Because we come to Christ, according to Colossians 1:11 through 13, we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
So we see that this mystery is connected to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, and that it's being made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. Well, what leads to the obedience of faith? The kindness of God leads to repentance, amen. We love him because he first loved us. When we share the gospel, people come to the obedience of faith. They come to trust in Jesus. Now, it's interesting because the only other reference to mystery in Romans has to do with the gospel. Turn to Romans chapter 11. And it has to do with the gospel, and not just the gospel, but the inclusion, and this is important, the inclusion of Jews and Gentiles in one body, the church. See, the Old Testament prophets had prophesied. The Jews were to be a light to the Gentiles, amen? Leviticus, they're called to be a kingdom and priests, priests meaning mediators between God, and they're supposed to be mediators to the Gentiles, a kingdom of priests, a light to the Gentiles. Because in Abraham was told in chapter 12 and following throughout Genesis that through his loins, what would happen? A seed would come, the Messiah, and he'd be a blessing to who? All the nations, amen? So God had revealed that the Messiah would come and he'd be a blessing to all the nations. But when you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, guess what you don't really get an understanding of until you get to the New Testament? The Jews and the Gentiles becoming one body and becoming part of the body of God in the flesh, the hands and the feet, the body of Christ. And I'm going to see, I'm jumping ahead now to other passages I'm thinking of. I'm giving us a head start, because when we get to those, you'll see that that's a big part of the mystery. And that wasn't specifically detailed in the Old Testament, what all that entailed, that the Messiah would come and that the Gentiles would be blessed, but that there would be one body, Jews and Gentiles. In fact, in Romans 11, let's look at verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and that would be the unbelieving Jews when Jesus came, the Jews that rejected him, even though they had been with the Lord, but they held on to their Judaism and rejected Messiah, they were broken off. And you, the Gentiles that are believers, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them. And you grafted among who? The branches that are still in the olive tree. And became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. What happens is sometimes Gentiles get saved, and they say it's all about us, and God is done with the Jews. There's no more plan for the Jews, which Paul's going to address in a minute. That's a lie from the pit of hell, actually. It's called replacement theology. In fact, let's see what the scriptures say. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by what? Your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, the Jews, he will not spare you either. Who? Those who are standing by faith, the believing Gentiles. Verse 22, behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be what? Cut off. That's a strong warning that we dare not ignore. Verse 23, after they also, the Jews, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches, the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? Look at verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this what? This mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be what? Be saved, just as it's written, the deliverer will come from Zion and will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is the covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. According to the beginning of Romans 9 and then also beginning of Romans 11, the Jews had been hardened, like Pharaoh. They rejected the gospel at the end of Romans 9, it says, and chapter 10, by faith. They sought it by works, or they thought they were just blessed because they were automatically chosen, unconditional election. But they will be softened, which shows you that hardening isn't always, it shows you that hardening doesn't always mean it's over. They'll be softened again, and they'll be brought into the kingdom. But this mystery is that there's partial hardening, and it's for a time, and God's used this blindness of the Jews to bring the gospel now to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are coming now, and when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, what does that mean? The full measure, the last Gentile believer. Get saved. What's going to happen? Then the deliverer will come out of Zion. Then all Israel will be saved. And in Romans 2, he says, all Israel is not Israel that's called Israel, but those who are circumcised according to the heart. So all those Jews at the very end times who recognize the Messiah when he comes, who are crying out for Yahweh to save them from the Antichrist, and they see Jesus come, they see him who is pierced, and they're putting their trust in him, and there'll be a Jewish remnant who won't know Jesus till the end of the tribulation. They'll be saved. Then they'll be grafted back in to where as Gentiles have been grafted in, but they're, according to nature, grafted in. We're contrary to nature if you're a Gentile, grafted in, with Jews who'd never left in the first place. Who wrote the whole New Testament was written by Jews. Said maybe Luke. So all these Jews and Gentiles be gathered in the same olive tree, amen? That's the mystery, part of the mystery. And the part that he hones in on is that these Jews will be blinded, but this is a mystery. It's in part because God's plan is continuing to bring Jews and Gentiles into one body. In this place, he uses the metaphor of the olive tree as a picture. It's a beautiful picture. God is not done with the Jews, but there's a mystery that's taking place right now. God is gathering Jews and Gentiles, and there's Jews being saved, by the way, right now as we go forward in the Lord. I love it, though, because when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then what? The mystery of God is complete. We read that. Same thing going on in Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Amen? Boom. And here, when the fullness of Gentiles comes in, Jesus comes back. Just what Jesus said in Matthew 24 in the Olivet Discourse, when they want to know what's the sign of the end, right? He's told about wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and all these things. When you look at Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21, he said the end is not yet. But he says, but when the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, the Greek words ethnos, from which we get the word ethnic groups, to all the ethnic groups, then the end will come. Amen? That's what we're waiting for, is the gospel be preached to all the nations. That's what we're about as a church. That's what every true Christian church should be about. Amen? Spreading the good news. That's why we're still here. We're benefactors of the mystery of God through salvation. Amen and amen, amen. But we're also privileged to serve God and share the mystery of the gospel with others. What a huge blessing. That's the purpose God has for us, is to become Christ-like in this life and glorify him in our life and to shine the light of Jesus to others, to know Jesus and to make him known. Amen? It's interesting because in Romans, Paul quotes the Old Testament directly or indirectly about 50 times. And he mentions that this mystery was disclosed by the prophets in the Old Testament writings. Yet it's somewhat veiled because it's not revealed, he says. It was hidden in ages past because they didn't really understand all that they were writing, the scriptures tell us, and is revealed to us now. Really, really wonderful when you think about it. Galatians 3:8 says, and the scripture, speaking of the Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So when I mentioned that this was preached even to Abraham, the gospel, I'm not just pulling that out of thin air. That's Galatians 3:8. Except when you read that all the nations will be blessed in you, you can't get from just that text by itself, apart from the New Testament, what that's going to look like in Jews and Gentiles becoming part of the body of Jesus, Yeshua, God in the flesh. That's what's revealed in the New Testament. That's the mystery that, you know, where the curtains come off and say, hey, this is what this looks like. And it's absolutely beautiful.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for the continuation of this important message. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Thank you.